The following is the class on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 7, Text 14, given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on September 5th, 2002, in Radhadesh, Belgium.
Ashesha Sanklesha Samanvidatte
Ashesha Sanklesha Samanvidatte
Gunanuvada Sravanam Murare
Gunanuvada Sravanam Murare
Kim Vapunaschach Charanaravinda
Kim Vapunaschach
Raga seva ratiratma labdha
Raga seva ratiratma labdha
Simply by chanting and hearing of the transcendental name, form, etc. of the Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one can achieve cessation of unlimited miserable conditions. Therefore, what to speak of those who have attained attraction for serving the flavor of the dust of the Lord's lotus feet? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Two different methods for controlling the material senses are recommended in the Vedic scriptural wisdom. One of them is the process of jnana, or the path of philosophical understanding of the Supreme, Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. The other is that of direct engagement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Of these two most popular methods, the path of devotional service is recommended here as the best, because one on a path of devotional service does not have to wait for the attainment of the fruitive results of pious activities or the results of knowledge. The two stages of executing devotional service are, first, the stage of practicing devotional service with our present senses under the regulations of the recognized scriptures, and second, attaining sincere attachment for serving the particles of the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. The first stage is called sadhana bhakti, or devotional service for the neophyte, which is rendered under the direction of a pure devotee. And the second stage is called rag bhakti, in which the mature devotee automatically takes to the various services of the Lord out of sincere attachment. The great sage Maitreya now gives the final answer to all the questions of Vidura. Devotional service to the Lord is the ultimate means to mitigate all the miserable conditions of material existence. The path of knowledge, or that of mystic gymnastics, may be adapted as a means for the purpose, but unless mixed with bhakti or devotional service, they are unable to award the desired result. By practicing sadhana bhakti, one may gradually rise to the point of rag bhakti, and by performing raga bhakti in loving transcendental service, one can even control the Supreme, Powerful Lord. We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 7, entitled Further Inquiries by Vidura, Text Number 14. Maitreya Rishi in previous verses described in essence how the living entity suffers due to bondage in this material existence. due to coming under the spell of the misconception that they are this body and they are this mind. Dukalayam ashashvatam. Because the soul is eternal, when it identifies with anything temporary as the object of pleasure or the subject of enjoyment, then the soul has to suffer, has to identify with a miserable situation. But to revive one's eternal spiritual consciousness is described here. The conclusion, as Prabhupada says, of the wonderful explanation of Maitreya Rishi to perfectly answer all Vidura's questions. Simply by chanting and hearing the transcendental name, form, etc. of the personality of Godhead, one can achieve cessation of unlimited miserable conditions. This is description of the process of sadhana bhakti. In the beginning stages, one may not have a spontaneous attraction for Krishna. But this process of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord cleanses the heart, and that spontaneous attraction, which is actually already there, is uncovered. It is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Cheto Darpana Marajanam Bhava Mahadavadni Nivapana, that the mind is like a mirror. When the mirror is covered by many, many layers of dust and contaminants, then when you look in the mirror, that's all you see. You see yourself to be all of that dirt. But when the mirror is clean, then you see yourself as you are, for who you are. We are the eternal servant of Krishna. To know yourself means to understand your relationship with Krishna. As we develop this attraction for Krishna, as we become purified in our heart, then automatically this great enthusiasm and love for Krishna awakens within our heart. But due to trying to exploit the resources of material nature since time immemorial, that great treasure of love of God is very, very much obscured. It is explained just like a sun is covered by a dark cloud. The sun is actually not covered, but it is covered from our vision. Similarly, our original pure consciousness is always there, but somehow or other, due to this dreaming state where we are thinking ourselves to be of this material existence, we have forgotten who we really are. So much suffering. Srila Prabhupada often compares material consciousness to a dream state. If you are laying in your nice home and you're dreaming that you're in a jungle being attacked by snakes and tigers, it's a very fearful situation. Your heart is beating, you're in absolute anxiety. But as soon as you wake up, you realize there's no problem. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his mission of coming in this dreamlike world is to wake us up. Jeev jago, jeev jago, gouda chandra bole, gota nidra jayo maya pisa chira kole. We are sleeping in the lap of maya. And as long as we are in the lap of maya, So many misconceptions, so many illusions are covering our original consciousness. Just wake up. Actually, Krishna consciousness is the process of somehow or other waking up. And Prabhupada uses example that the best way to wake up is through sound vibration, because the sense of hearing is very much alert. If you're sleeping and someone puts a sign in front of you, wake up, likely you will not see it, even if they put big, big, bold letters. You probably won't see it. But the way we wake people up is either alarm clocks or bells or just screaming in the person's ear, wake up! Because the sense of hearing is actually still alert even in your sleeping state. If there's something nice to hear, or sometimes something not nice to hear. Recently I was in a big city, and the temple where I was staying in, right over a highway, not highway, but a crowded street, and so much traffic and horns and everything, and how does anyone sleep? I had to put so many earplugs in just to, because you're trying to sleep and then people revving their motors and everything, very difficult. But one of the people who lives there told me that actually he can't sleep without that traffic. He's so conditioned, so accustomed to living in that city for so many years that if it's quiet, he can't sleep. The quiet disturbs his hearing. So hearing is very much still very alert, even in deep sleep. Therefore, this sound of the holy name of Krishna, it can actually wake the sleeping soul more than any other process. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was asked by his devotees, he was asked by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sripad Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was practically the king of the jnanis. He was such a great scholar. He was from Navadvip, which was the high seat of learning in all of India. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he was living in Navadvip, he had an educational institution for teaching others various types of Sanskrit knowledge, learning, philosophy, shastras. But he was of the Advaita school of monism, but very, very learned. In fact, Navadvip was famous as the high seat of learning in all of India, except there was one branch of knowledge that there was no person in all of Navadvip that could teach. And this was the one deficiency. The only place in the world where this particular field of knowledge was being taught was in Mithila. Mithila, you have read about in Ramayana, is the place where Sita, the goddess of fortune, grew up. She was born very near there. And later, Lord Sri Ramchandra came and broke Shiva's bow and married Sita in Mithila. And during the time of Krishna, Lord Sri Krishna went to Mithila and he met with Bahulasa and Shrutadev, a great king and a very poor Brahmin. And also Balaramji, he went to Mithila on his yatra. So Mithila is a very, very ancient holy place. And Mithila had this very prestige as the only place that taught this type of knowledge, Nyaya. And Navadvip, it was his only flaw of the city. Now, the reason why nobody else could teach it is the original books that teach that particular branch of knowledge were only in Mithila, and they would not allow anyone to copy it. They wouldn't even show the books to you. You had to sit at your teacher's feet and just learn it. And you could learn so much, but you didn't know the whole book, so you couldn't actually teach it without the book. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he went there and he studied it under a teacher. And just by his incredible intelligence, he memorized the book. How do you go? Big book. It's like Purana-sized book. He memorized the entire thing. And then he came back to Navadvip. And as part of his school, he taught that branch of knowledge, and it was absolutely authorized. So he actually brought the full-scale glory to the educational facilities of Navadvip Dham. And he was considered the unparalleled teacher amongst all teachers. So much so that King Prataparudra, who was the king of Orissa, including Jagannath Puri, he invited Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to be his personal teacher. He invited him to be the teacher of the entire kingdom. Very, very prestigious position. And gave him all facilities. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya shifted from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri to live in a little house that just close by to the Jagannath temple on the banks of the Sweta Ganga. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually studied in the school of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya because it was the best. And he became the ultimate best. So in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what a family this was. The brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was Vidyavachaspati, and he was the guru of Sanatan Goswami, who was the guru of Rupa Goswami. Hari Hari. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Puri, we know how he fell unconscious in front of Jagannath because of his ecstatic love, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya brought him to his home. And after some days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, in a feeling of parental affection for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was thinking that you have taken sannyas. And sannyas is not an easy thing in Kali Yuga. It's not very much recommended in Kali Yuga because there's so many allurements and diversions. And you're only 24 years old and you're the most beautiful person in the world. You're all attractive. How are you going to sustain your vows unless you are firmly fixed in the power of discrimination according to Sripad Shankaracharya? Therefore, you should study the Brahma Sutras from me, because if you have very, very great knowledge, then neti, you will be able to discriminate of what is real and what is unreal, and you will be able to eliminate all the temptations of Maya that come before you, because you see that it's an illusion. Anything nice that comes, you just neti. It's an illusion, discard it. Hare Krishna. That is the process. And of course, even Vaishnavas should know the scriptures, because we have to discriminate. The only difference is we understand that it's illusory, it's not illusion. The illusion is that we think that we're the enjoyer. The body and the senses are real. The objects and the senses are real. Why? Because they're part of Krishna's energy, his material energy. But they're temporary. They're temporary manifestations. But that's their reality. What is the illusion? That I am this body and that I'm meant to enjoy this. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya sat for many days in the Jagannath temple teaching Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the Vedanta Sutra. And Lord Chaitanya was so humble. He was really a preacher. He knew if I'm going to convert Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I have to penetrate his heart. So part of the process is to sit and listen to him. Hare Krishna. Meanwhile, Gopinathacharya, the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma and others, they were really angry at Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. What nonsense. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You want to teach him? You think you could make him a better sannyasi than he is? He doesn't need sannyasi. He's the absolute truth. He's the king of all yogis. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I don't see in the scriptures that he's the Supreme Personality of God. So there was a big debate. Gopinathacharya said, you cannot understand the Lord even though he's standing before you only because you have not achieved even a drop of his mercy. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, we're just having a friendly discussion. Don't be so angry. Well, when Lord Chaitanya heard about how they were so angry with Sarvabhauma, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told that actually he loves me like a father. He wants to help me. Why are you... Let him teach me. So after this incredible narration, Sarvabhauma said, I spoke for so many days, you didn't even ask a single question. I don't know, do you understand or not understand? He said, yes, I understand. I understand the Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta Sutra is like the sun at noon. It's very clear. But your interpretation is like a dark cloud that completely obscures the true meaning. Nobody ever spoke like that to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So you please, if you know a better understanding, you tell me. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his explanation according to Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary of the Vedanta Sutra. The author, Vyasadeva, has written his own commentary. Why don't we just accept that? It's the only way to understand it. When the Bhattacharya heard this, he surrendered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu revealed to him his divine opulences. So one day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Lord Chaitanya, of the 9 processes of devotional service, what is the most important? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately answered, the most important is the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Simply by hearing and chanting, we can awaken our original pure Krishna consciousness. Harinama, 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 Bhakevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatiranand. In this age of Kali, an age where we have so many disqualifications, where there are so many spiritual impediments, this direct process of chanting in holy ways is actually the only means by which we can attain the perfection of liberation. As we approach the pure devotee, the spiritual masters, and we get instruction, we are trained in the proper process of chanting the holy names. Srila Prabhupada told us that 99% of our spiritual advancement is through the chanting of the holy names. Yes, Maharaj, he has said. So why so many other things we have to do? Because all of these other disciplines are very much essential to train us to chant the holy names properly. We must guard against these 10 offenses. In the pure state of chanting, there's no question of offenses. But in our present state, our conditioned nature is we are so offensive. Therefore, we must very, very carefully guard against these 10 offenses. The Harinam, or first initiation, is an initiation where we take actual vows. This is how Srila Prabhupada arranged it, where we take vows to chant at least 16 rounds every day, to follow the four regulative principles, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. And at the time of first initiation, it is traditional that the 10 offenses of the holy name are spoken. We must guard against these offenses. And we find that these 10 offenses to the holy name are not necessarily offenses that we commit while we're doing our japa or kirtan. These offenses are what we commit at any time or every time of the day or night. In one sense, our whole day, our whole life of engaging in service is to prepare our consciousness to be in a humble service attitude, a dedicated service attitude, in a state of mind that's pleasing to Krishna, so that when we chant the holy names, Krishna will reciprocate. It is so very important. Prabhupada said, disciple means discipline. Srila Prabhupada would often condemn taking a spiritual master as a fashion, taking a spiritual master for the purpose of religiosity. The actual meaning of accepting a spiritual master is the willingness to surrender, the willingness to be disciplined. There are many famous stories of people from India who would approach Prabhupada begging for blessings. But they wanted material blessings. I was told by one godbrother who was with Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada was in a train in India. And the devotees just want, he's preaching so much, when he's traveling in the train, let him have some rest, let him have some privacy. But this man kept wanting to, he just met him right in the little aisleway and said, Swamiji, Swamiji, give me your blessings, please, give me your blessings. And Prabhupada just walked by him. What kind of blessings? That's not the way you get. You don't just demand blessings. The real blessing is the instruction. Srila Prabhupada's greatest blessing is he has given us his instructions, the instruction by which we can become purified. That's the real blessing. And to the degree we follow the instruction, that's how much we're actually accepting his blessings. He's giving his blessings to everyone. Here's my books. Here's the holy name. Here's service to Krishna. Anyone who wants it, take it. The full blessings of Krishna coming through parampara. Some cheap blessing. This person wanted material prosperity. So he came right into Prabhupada's compartment. Said, Swamiji, please give me your blessings. Prabhupada said, I don't think you want my blessings. He said, no, I want your blessings, Swamiji. Please give me your blessings. So Prabhupada looked at him very sternly and said, I bless that your material life is finished. So the man practically fell unconscious. Swamiji, that's not the type of blessing I wanted. And Prabhupada just said, oh, that's your blessing. So whatever happened to that man? So So this is not what guru means. Guru means discipline. Disciplining disciple by instructions. And the process of sadhana bhakti entails very, very carefully following the instructions of the spiritual master. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami has given in very, very great detail the intricate explanations of both Bhairi Bhakti, Raghunuka Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, and Prema Bhakti, the various stages. Srila Prabhupada, he took all of these instructions and he presented them to us in a practical way. This, like Srila Rupa Goswami explains, of the 64 items for devotional service, 5 are most important. Yes? Number 1, associating with devotees. Chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Worshipping the deity. Worshipping Tulsi or living in a holy place. So Srila Prabhupada gave us a regulated schedule. We come to Mangalarti, we're worshipping the deity. We're living in the association of devotees. Every day we're chanting 16 rounds together, we're chanting Harinam Sankirtan together in front of the deities. Every day there's Srimad Bhagavatam class, there's Bhagavad Gita class, there's Tulsi worship. And just by coming in the temple, we're coming to a holy place. Srila Prabhupada at New Vrindavan in 1976, he had his assistant, Prajumana Prabhu, reading from the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about the symptoms of Kali Yuga. And therein, it is described that people will go to holy places to take bath rather than associating with saintly people. And Prabhupada gave his little commentary. He said, just like in Calcutta, the Ganges is flowing and people will travel all the way to Haridwar with so much effort to do what? To bathe in the Ganges. And then he said something that very much stunned the devotees in New Vrindavan. He said, you're living at New Vrindavan. It is not different than Vrindavan. Therefore, there's no need for you to go to any other holy place of pilgrimage. And the leader of the community was ecstatic, and the rest of us were very And then the devotees in New Vrindavan became known as inmates. Inmates is what you call prisoners who can't get out. In fact, Prabhupada would write letters, "Dear inmates of New Vrindavan." So Srila Prabhupada actually explained that all of his temples, wherever these practices of worshipping the deity, chanting the holy names, reciting and hearing and discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, worship of Tulsi Devi, those temples are Vaikuntha. They're holy places. They're like little embassies of the spiritual world. So in this way, these 5 principles of devotional service that Rupa Goswami so much emphasizes, it is a part of our daily life every single day if we're following Srila Prabhupada's program. We're reciting the offenses to the holy names every day before we chant our japa. We should actually meditate on that. It's very, very important. If we can even chant one time the name of Krishna offenselessly, we become cleansed of our previous sins and their reactions. That's how powerful the holy name is. The example is of Ajamil. Somehow or other, he chanted the name of Narayan in an offenseless state, and because of that, he was purified of such terrible sins he committed all his life. And through this process of sadhana bhakti, which entails obediently following the rules and regulations, obediently following the instructions of the spiritual master, we gradually, by the mercy of Guru, by the mercy of Krishna, we come to the stage, where Prabhupada explains here, of serving Krishna, serving the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna with great attractions. And Prabhupada, in his purport, explains that this is raga bhakti. This is where spontaneous love is beginning to awaken within the heart. But even in that state, we could fall down if we make offenses. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Rupa Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, they have given us this very clear path that we actually attain the stage of raga bhakti not by immediately jumping into it. It's like Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, if you want a mango to be ripe and soft, you have to give it its own time. You have to just leave it on the tree and keep watering the tree and let that mango become soft. But if you think, I want it to become ripe immediately, and you take that hard mango and you start beating it with a hammer and with sticks and with rocks to make it soft, actually you can make it soft. I have seen. You can take a hard, unripe mango and just beat it and beat it and beat it until it's so soft. It's just like a ripe mango. It feels like it. It looks like it. But it doesn't taste like it. By any means. So the dignity and the integrity of Krishna consciousness is we take a humble position. We never feel that we deserve something very high and something very great. We just try to serve. We try to chant the holy names. We try to hear the Bhagavatam. We're in a humble state of mind with sincerity and dedication. And when the Supreme Personality of Godhead sees that sincerity, and he personally comes and elevates us, picks us up to that high position of spontaneous devotional attraction. Like the residents of Vrindavan. The residents of Vrindavan, they have the highest realization of spiritual love. Because they are beyond Vaikuntha, beyond Ayodhya. They're actually thinking. Ramananda Rai explained this to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're thinking that Krishna is my friend. And they're playing with him and riding with him. As equals. But within that Sakya Rasa, all the other realizations of the Supreme Godhead are included. Brahman realization, Paramatma realization, they're not without that. That's part and parcel of the higher levels. They're Brahman realized. They're Paramatma realized. And as far as the Vaikuntha Ras, the Vaikuntha mood of devotional service, awe and reverence, that's also included. Santa Ras, neutrality, understanding the Lord to be supreme. Prahlad, just always completely fixed in remembrance. Dasyaras, just willing to carry out any order of the Lord at any time. Completely surrendered servant. Hanuman, what kind of servant was he? When Lakshman was wounded in Sri Lanka during the battle, he actually had no symptoms of life. You know, it was Indrajit threw a javelin right in Lakshman's chest. And it was a powerful javelin. It had the potencies of demigods in it. And Lakshman was laying lifeless. So one of the monkeys, who was the doctor, he came and told that there's an herb in a mountain in Himalayas. We need that herb. So Ram told Hanuman, get that herb. It's Himalayas. They're in Sri Lanka. It's thousands of miles away. So what kind of servant is Hanumanji? He just jumped, one jump. He went all the way to Himalayas. Then he had to find the herb. That wasn't an easy thing. The herbs were all hiding in the mountain. He couldn't find the herbs. This was a Himalayan mountain. Bigger than your Alps. So Hanuman couldn't find the herb. So he just uprooted the entire mountain and jumped back with the mountain in his hand. Now that's service. And then the doctor came and climbed the mountain and find the herb. And just by smelling that herb, Lakshman became very strong and awakened again.